Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe May has come and gone. Here we are, Memorial Day weekend. For my running friends, I'm doing the Black Fly Race in Wilmont on Monday. I'm sure my running friends have other races to do over the Memorial Day weekend. And as a further reminder, the next race in the Capital Area Race Series is the Run for the Animals 5K and Fitness Walk, and that is Saturday, June 4th at 10 a.m. It begins and ends at Northeast Delta Dental. It's affectionately known as well as the Over the River and Through the Woods. One of the best T-shirts ever was the design of the Over the River and Through the Woods T-shirt, and I want to give a big shout-out to my corporate fitness coach, Tom Walton, an extraordinary runner. Always wins his age category. He's incredible. If you want to know where you are in the standings on the Capital Year Race Series, that website is runcarsnh.com. So again, Run for the Animals, Saturday, June 5th at 10 a.m. And for my running friends who are listening to this over Memorial Day weekend, there is a race Monday morning in Wilmont. Beautiful Wilmont. It's called the Black Fly. Although, actually, I've never really been attacked by black flies out there. It's a nice course. Last week's show was really cool. We had two gentlemen on, Joe Casper and a colleague, Joe, on the Toastmasters International. There's a number of clubs in the Concord area, and essentially what people don't realize, it's how smart you are. Sure, that matters, but as an employer, we look at folks who know how to present themselves, that have leadership skills, that can think and talk on their feet, and the Toastmasters clubs around the state, you know, will give you that opportunity. So I urge you, whether it's the Horseshoe Pond Club or the one on Pleasant Street, that you get in touch with the Toastmasters organization. This show has given me a great opportunity to feature hidden gems in the state, community partners, and I always think I'm really connected. But there is an organization called the Wright Museum, W-R-I-G-H-T, Museum of World War II, and the executive director is Mike Culver, who's been the executive director for 3 years, and Mike has joined me this Memorial Day weekend. Mike, thank you. I'm sure you have better things to do than to hang out with Tom Raffio over Memorial Day weekend, but I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom, just as long as you don't ask me to run in that race.
You look like you could do it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we were kind of talking offline that I feel like I'm really connected in the community, but when you first approached me a few months ago and you came to visit me at Northeast Delta Dental, I candidly, other than I did my own Google search and then really learned more about the Wright Museum of World War II, I actually hadn't have the knowledge of it. So let's really start with the basics. Let's start with, you've been there 3 years, so what's your background? How did you get involved as an executive director of the museum? And then we got to talk in great detail as to how did the Wright Museum come into being.
Sure. My background is fairly odd for being an executive director of a World War II history museum. Most of my museum career has been in the arts, first in the Algonquin Museum of American Art in Algonquin, Maine. And then I was down at the Naples Museum of Art in Naples, Florida for a while before I took on this job in New Hampshire. And my background is in art, and I'm a painter and a photographer, and painters and photographers can't make money usually, so we teach or we do museum work, and that's what I've been doing all my life, teaching and now doing museum work, plus selling my work.
And how lucky are we that you've landed in New Hampshire? So, what is the exact purpose and mission of the Wright Museum of World War II?
Sure. First and foremost, it's an educational institution that focuses on American history from 1939 to 45. That's the period, of course, of World War II. And it was founded in 1994 by David Wright. David founded in honor of his father and mother, E. Stanley and Alice Wright. David was a Marine and was in Korea, wasn't in World War I, but his father was. And he loved hearing the stories that his father and mother would tell him about that generation that we've called the greatest generation now. And he began to collect bits and pieces of World War II vehicles. The story is that his wife, Carol, all of their children were around teenagers, and she could never get the car because they all had their driver's license.
I've been there.
I think we all have. So David decided that he'd buy a World War II Jeep and fix it up for Carol, and that started him collecting just vehicles. And eventually he had to have a place to put the vehicles, and he thought about building a museum. He was going to build the museum in Worcester, Mass., where he was from, but decided that that he would build it in Wolfboro, New Hampshire, which we're lucky that he did.
And so that's where the Wright Museum is located.
Exactly.
Beautiful Wolfboro.
And that's the story.
And you get kudos for pronouncing Worcester correctly because, you know, in my GPS, the GPS lady goes Worcester or something like that. So you always know when someone wasn't brought up in Massachusetts.
Exactly. And I was born and raised in Kentucky, so I'm lucky I can speak English at all.
You did it. Now, why don't you do this? Let's give us the website, but also tell us exactly where in Wolfboro you're located.
Sure. We're on 77. Center Street, and that's right off the main drag of downtown Wolfboro, and it's easy to find. There are lots of those brown museum signs around, so you'll see that. It's a great location. And if you ask anybody where the museum is, they'll say it's that building with the tank coming out of the front of it. And so we're hard to miss on Center Street.
I think that's a smart move, having a symbolic thing like that. I know, like the Discovery Center, which is right opposite of Delta Dental. I just say where the rocket is, and everybody knows exactly.
That's exactly right.
Where it is. And you must be pretty proud that the Yankee Magazine honored your organization with the 2016 Editor's Choice Award for the best 20th Century History Museum in New England, not just New Hampshire. So that's pretty impressive.
We're just delighted over that. And we've had a lot of response to that, a lot of hits on our website because of that, and a lot of calls. So anytime you get some recognition, I think you called it a gem a while ago, and it is. It's a hidden gem, and that's what Yankee Magazine says. It's under the radar is what they call it, and I guess that's really true. But we've been doing since I've come to the museum, we've been doing a lot more advertising and programs like this, and we're seeing a nice rise in attendance, and so that's what we want to do.
Good, and since I have a great following on my radio show, I think come after Memorial Day, you might get some more members. So
excellent.
So if someone, it was the late the April edition of Yankee Magazine where you were featured, right?
So exactly, people can pick their that up. Best of issue. Yeah,
perfect. And and the website is wrightmuseum.org, mm-hmm. all one word, wrightmuseum,
that's
with
right.
a W, .org. Now, this is New Hampshire, of course, and I know you're from Kentucky, mm-hmm. So I always get asked, well, how is it funded? Is this through membership? Is this through sponsorships, a combination, grants? Tell us about that.
All of those things that you just mentioned, our admission we use for operational expenses. We have membership at all different kinds of levels. So a single person could become a member, or a family could become a member. We do a lot of fundraising. We have two fundraising events, as a matter of fact, this year. Tim Sample is going to come do a benefit concert for us in Wolfboro.
And when is that?
That's on July the 30th.
July 30th.
Yeah.
And so would they just, if someone wanted to be a sponsor or attend, they would just go on your
sure,
website?
Sure. If you're interested in coming, we still have seats available. That's going to be in the Brewster Academy is in Wolfboro, and they have a wonderful auditorium, and so we're going to use that. And so
that's a beautiful location.
It is. Yeah. It's a great location. And Tim is going to be there. Tim Sample is going to be there on the 30th from 7 to 9. And you can go online at our site, wrightmuseum.org, and you can get tickets right there. And then on the 23rd of August, the Bel Airs, who are a wonderful doo-wop group, They've won New Hampshire's best doo-wop group for years, and they're going to be in town also at the Anderson Hall, and that's August the 23rd from 7 to 9. And both of those tickets are general admission. They're $15 each. The other way we do is raise money, especially for exhibitions, are to go to businesses, corporations, individuals, and of course,
like you visited me a couple months ago.
Exactly. Gosh, I tell you, that was a wonderful visit, and it resulted in wonderful results. So, Northeast Dental, Delta Dental, is going to help sponsor the Infamy exhibition, and that. That takes place from August the 29th to October the 24th.
And just so people don't think that we're infamous, tell us what the Infamy exhibit
is. It's a great photography exhibition created by the World War II Museum, National World War II Museum in New Orleans. They travel the show, and we are going to host that. And it's 66 black and white photographs of the attack on Pearl Harbor, the aftermath, of course, of the attack. And
so it's a play on FDR's is a day that will live in infamy.
Exactly. And it's just a really powerful exhibition. And, of course, has a lot of wonderful labels and things to tell you all of the history that you should know.
That's good. Now, you also are known for your yearly exhibitions, which like Diary of Anne Frank, D-Day, and so forth. So tell us, sure. And Norman Rockwell, tell us about those.
Well, one of the things that we try to do, you know, we have a pretty specific subject matter at the museum, but that doesn't limit us to particular people that are just interested in what happened during the war in terms of battles and things. Our museum is about battlefield and the home front. As a matter of fact, David Wright wanted to showcase World War II Americans and what they did to help America help Europe win the war. And so it's a wonderful sort of cross-cultural, interdisciplinary kind of museum. We have music of the period, books, toys, literature. We also have tanks, and we have military vehicles and weapons and uniforms. It's a great. So we try to do exhibitions that sort of span all groups. So, for instance, the first exhibition, which is going on until now, until June the 10th, is an exhibition by Charles Miller, who was a Nashua, New Hampshire soldier who served in the Pacific Theater during World War II, and he did over 700 drawings and paintings, and we're exhibiting 40 of those wonderful works right now.
And that's going on right now. We'll pause for a commercial break, but let's get back into Charles Miller. So with me this weekend again is Mike Culver, the executive director of the Wright Museum of World War II. It's WrightMuseum.org right here in Wolfboro. Tom Raffio, please stay tuned after commercial break. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio, and with me this weekend is Mike Culver, who's the executive director of the Wright Museum of World War II. And just a reminder for my running friends, this Monday, Memorial Day, we have the race, the Black Fly Blitz, so-called, and that's in Wilmont. And again, for my Capitalia Racing Series fans, so to speak, the next race in that series is Saturday, June 4th, the Run for the Animals over the river and through the woods. And that starts and ends right at Northeast Delta Dental. So, Mike, you were talking about Charles Miller, who was brought up in Nashua in that exhibit. Let's continue on that path, and then I'd like to talk about your popular Tuesday evening educational programs.
Oh, sure. I'd love to talk about that. Charles J. Miller, was born in Nashua of immigrant parents, and when he was born at the hospital, they decided that they would give him an American name so he didn't have the stigma of a Lithuanian name. Their name was Burkus. And so they called him Charles Joseph Miller, which is pretty American, I guess, if you're from Lithuania.
It would be, yes.
And so Charlie had this innate talent from a young age, but his parents worked in the mill in Nashua, and they expected him, as soon as he could, to quit school and also work in the mill because they needed the money. It was in the height of the Depression era. And so he quit school between the sixth and the seventh grade, but he kept on drawing, and he would go to the library and check out books on art. And he would take the books home, go up into the attic by himself, and he would teach himself perspective, how to use watercolor, drawing the human body, landscape, all of those kinds of things that you would get if you went to an art school. But of course, he couldn't do that. So all of his life, Charlie lived to be 88 years old, all of his life, he taught himself all of these wonderful aspects of drawing and painting, and they are just marvelous. I call them national treasures, and I really believe they are. And if you have a chance to come see them, now the show's up until June the 10th. If your audience has a chance to come see them, I think they'll be very, very.
All right, so let's galvanize the audience. Let's drive up to Wolfboro the next few days, and by you know where it is, by the tank, and let's see Charlie Miller's drawings. Now we're starting to say you have this Tuesday evening educational program. Tell us about those and what the admission fee is and so forth.
Sure. Every Tuesday night from 7 to 8 o'clock, we have an educational program, and it's called the Ron Goodgame and Donna Caney Education Series program, because they have, for the past 2 years, made it possible, funded us and made it possible for us to get some wonderful people to do the programs. And so that's from the 1st of May through October the 4th, I think, is the last one. So we have about 22 programs during the summer. And it costs $8 to get into the programs. We open the doors at 6 o'clock. So you could come in at 6 o'clock, pay your $8, see the whole museum, and then go to an education program also, which lasts usually from 7 to 8. If you're a member at the museum, you get in free, and that's one thing that we like to tell people. Please, if you love the museum, come and become a member. If you become a member, you get free admission. You get free admission to the programs, the education programs. You get a discount in the museum shop. You get all of the e-blasts and all of the mailings that we do. You get an invitation to the opening receptions, members only opening reception. We're going to do two of those this year. So please, if you're going to come and you like it and you want to support us, the best way you can do that is just give us a bag of money, or you could become a member.
Perfect. And again, the membership information would be on wrightmuseum.org.
That's correct. And our phone number, in case you want to call, is 603-569-1212, which is really easy to remember.
Gosh, even I can remember that one. That's good. So what are you open? I mean, you're closed during some of the winter months, right?
Right. We're open from May 1 to October 31st every year. And during that off season, the staff and I don't go off to Florida and get a nice tan. That's the period we always kid. And museum people who are in seasonal museums like we are, when we get together, we all kid about this. Everybody thinks we take off and don't do anything at all during the winter. And really, that's when the work is done.
I was going to say, that's when you rejuvenate.
Exactly. And we try to plan 2 years ahead of time, if we can, about the exhibitions, because you have to. And then we go back through and we change exhibitions, and we do research about new things that we've got to the permanent collection. We do a lot of fundraising during that period. My favorite part of that off period is that's when we have school groups in.
Right, tell us about that, because it's music to my ears, no pun intended, because as chair of the State Board of Education, we, of course, love to hear about extended learning opportunities and real-life learning and 21st century learning. So sounds like you've got some schools that come and take these winter tours.
Yes, we do. And I'm an old teacher myself before I started museum work. And we all know that taking a field trip to some place, whatever it is, whatever you're studying and whatever museum you're going to be able to take a look at objects that coincide with what you're studying is 100 times better than just reading about it in a book. So we have a wonderful program. All schools have to do is to call us and make an appointment.
So that's at 569-1212?
That's it. And they can also go online if they want to reach us online. They can email me if they'd like to, and it's just michael.culver@wrightmuseum.org, and we'll schedule an appointment for you to come with your class. And we sometimes have schools like Keene High School, which is a good distance from us, came this year. And sometimes they bring three groups of 40 and 50 kids 3 days in a row. And we take them around. We have docents, volunteers, and staff who will take around the students and will do in-depth work with them. If the teachers would rather do that themselves, we're there to answer any questions.
This is bringing a huge smile to my ear because, again, as chair of the State Board of Ed, we love this real-world learning. And there's also been a concern raised by the New Hampshire Historical Society that some of the children these days don't necessarily have the history background. And, of course, being able to touch and feel World War II, I'm sure it really resonates with the children.
Absolutely, and the really nice thing about it is the school groups are the admission is only $4, so it's not out of the reach of most schools to be able to do something like that. And we also do during the winter, I should say, for other groups. If you have a history group that you belong to or a book group or something, and you have 15 members of that, and you want to come by, we'll do a tour for you for $7. And
wow.
But the kids are the fun part, and we try to have people in. We sometimes have World War II veterans,
right? And I think it's so important because I know, like, for folks our age, like World War II is like relevant history. Like my kids who are all in their 20s, their idea of war history is like the first Gulf War,
Yeah, ancient history is the Beatles. Ancient history is the Beatles.
There you go. So this is great. The other thing I want to pick up on something you said before the break, which is I like the fact that you also know that part of our success in World War II is, you know, people back at the ranch, people back home were still working, and how's this relevant to my real job? Well, that's when benefits to employees at actually was established during World War II because factories and so forth couldn't give people salary increases, wage freezes. Yeah. So what they did was they added, you know, fringe benefits, you know, medical plans. And so that's how when people ask me, well, how did you know, medical and dental benefits get established through the employer as opposed to maybe how European and other countries do it? This is it. So I'm sure that's part of what we learn here. The other thing I know, someone wanted me to ask this because they knew that their military vehicles here. So, can people sit in them and not necessarily drive them, but can they sit in them?
Right. We discourage that, and the only reason we discourage it is because our insurance company tells us that we have to. But if you will come on July the 10th, if you'll come on July the 10th from 11 to 3 o'clock that whole day, we will have military vehicles outside, and you will actually be able to go for a ride in them because the insurance company tells us we can do this on one day of the year. So that's called our family day.
That's July 10th.
So you come, there are face painters, there's balloon clowns, there's magic shows. Squam Lake Nature Center comes and does programs with live animals. We have reenactors who you can talk to about World War II, and we have the wonderful rides in the vehicles. Now, you can't ride in a tank because they tried that apparently years ago when they first opened, and it tore the road up so badly that they said, no, you can't take the tank out on the roads anymore. But we do have Jeeps, command vehicles, and it not only the kids love it, but the adults love it also.
So you're going to be busy in July and August because you have this July 10th ride, the Jeeps and so forth, and then you have the Tim Sample concert on July 30th, right?
We sure do, yeah.
7 to 9, and then August 23rd in Bel Air, you have that concert as well. So all this information you can find at writemuseum.org or call Mike himself at 569-1212. It sounds like a really cool place to be at. So are you also looking for volunteers? I know that I get that question a lot.
Sure.
Geez, can I volunteer to be a docent after I'm trained, or is there volunteer opportunities?
Absolutely. We have a group of about 30 volunteers who volunteer to take people on tours and to help in the museum itself. We have another 20 to 25 volunteers who actually take care of the World War II vehicles. You know, they're 70-year-old vehicles, and they still have to be taken care of. And all of them, except for the Sherman tank that we've got, are operational. So we're always looking for volunteers.
Oh, you have some Sherman tanks?
We have a Sherman tank. We have a Persian tank. We have
one of my favorite movies was The Battle of the Bulge, and that line from the famous, "We'll run them out of gas," whatever. Cool.
Sherman tank is huge, of course. And for any the star of the show, though, is our Persian tank. The Persian tank was actually at the Battle of Remagen, which is a very, very pivotal battle at the end of the war. Yeah.
Give me 15 seconds on the Antique Car Show.
Oh, the Antique Car Show is our fourth annual. We have probably we have to draw the line at 100 entries because that's all we can hold. It's outside in our museum parking lot, and it is August the 20th, I think.
Well, you're going to have a busy July and August.
Yeah,
so all
exactly.
That information you can find on wrightmuseum.org, and that's with a W, right? And it's 569-1212. Again, the Wright Museum of World War II, it's one of those hidden gems in New Hampshire. We're also blessed that, you know, that Mike is with us now here in New Hampshire. And on our offline conversations, I know you really love New Hampshire, so we're lucky to have you. And I guess I would say that those of you that are out there, if you're a CEO, there's sponsorship opportunities. If you're an individual citizen, there are membership opportunities. We want to keep this hidden gem not so hidden anymore in Wolfboro with the tank. We want to keep it vibrant. Mike, thank you for joining me this Memorial Day weekend.
Thanks, Tom, and we appreciate Northeast Dental Delta Dental's support, as we do all of the organizations.
I learned about it, couldn't help but sponsor. So, again, the number is 569-1212, wrightmuseum.org. Mike Culver, Executive Director, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Tom Raffio, please stay tuned next week.